Hey, good morning. This is not a normal morning for us this morning. Our friend, our colleague, our coworker, our mentor, Bob Holt, died last night at a hospital in Columbia, Missouri. And if you'll bear with us today, we're going to try to get through this podcast. We want to remember Bob. Obviously, people have been reaching out from all across the country today, and that's our hope today, is to remember our friend, because Bob, that's what he was. He was not just a colleague. He wasn't a coworker. If you got in Bob Holt's orbit, you didn't have a better friend. You didn't have a stronger advocate. You didn't have a greater ally than Bob Holt. Everybody who ever met him, they remembered him. There's only one Bob Holt. And, you know, what I would say about Bob is that he's just one of the greatest people I ever knew. He was my dad's age, worked around him for almost 20 years, worked with him directly for more than 14, and he became like a brother to me. And so we're hurting today about Bob. Obviously, many of you have heard that he collapsed last Saturday after the Arkansas football game against Missouri, was unconscious, and he never regained consciousness. And he died at the hospital there across from Missouri's football stadium last night. We miss Bob. We love him. And what I would say most about him is that he will be missed like he was loved dearly.
You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
And welcome in with Ethan Westerman this morning. You know, as I mentioned, this is not going to be a normal show, but we don't want it to be a sad show either. We want it to be a happy, uplifted memory of Bob's life, which it's hard for us because we're sad right now. Bob, you know, like I mentioned, was just, I told someone this morning, he was a force of nature, that there's only one Bob Holt. And there's there's obviously lots of things that have been written on our site and on others. And Bill Bowden, who works for the Democrat Gazette, he called me and interviewed me for the obituary that he wrote on Bob. And, you know, one of the things I said was if there were more Bob Holts in the world, it would be a happier place. It would be a friendlier place. It'd be a place that smiles a lot more. And it would just be an all-around better place. And so, Bob... I told Ethan this earlier in the week when the gravity of his situation really was felt by all of us. I said, you're about to learn just how loved Bob Holt was. I knew it because I was able to travel with him a lot. I was able to, you know, be with him at a lot of different events. And, you know, you notice when someone is just like a magnet. And it's like, oh, well, that person walked up to him. Bob didn't walk up. You know what I mean? And you just saw it over and over and over with really high-profile people, or maybe it was just the person working the back door bag check who they'd seen Bob come through a million times before. And everybody loved Bob Holt, and I think that's why you're seeing such an outpouring of support and messages this morning on Twitter right now. It says on the side, Bob Holt, esteemed SEC sports journalist, passes away at 65. And Ethan, I can only imagine how big of a laugh Bob would get seeing to be called an esteemed SEC sports journalist.
He already got a kick out of it. I mean, Bob knew he was legendary, but he got a kick out of it whenever people would introduce him as the legendary Bob Holt.
But he was never full of himself.
He was never full of himself. But I mean, Bob knows he did a good job. One of my funniest memories with him, like recent, was that on the way to go to, I spent 7 days in a row with them going to this tip-off tour that the basketball team did, and then we went to Birmingham for media day, and we're in the car going down, and he had a story that was going to be in the Arkansas Democrat Gazette the next day, and he had talked to Arkansas's long snapper Ashton Noe, and he said, he in the most humble way on earth, Bob tells me, he says, I know, he goes, I'm old, I've been doing this a while, and, you know, he said, I just don't think some people that's still at my age take the time to go talk to a long snapper. He said, I'm not going to lie, I don't think many people can talk to the long snapper and write a good story.
Yeah.
And he was, that's the thing. Like, Bob knew he did a really good job, but he was never, that was like, he felt like telling me that in private, like he was being too boastful, I think. But like, that's just the guy he was. I mean, like, he never made it about, it always ended up, you know, Bob got a lot of attention because he asked so many questions in press conferences, but it was never about himself.
But that's who he was.
Yeah, it's just who he was. He was never about himself. Yeah. Yep. And you've been crying, I've been crying, but there's just, like you said, like, it's, the gravity of it hit us a lot earlier, I think, this week to where it's now, you know, a way to help with it is just remembering all the happy moments that we did have.
Yeah, we were able to prepare ourselves for this news, you know, he was, just tell you some things about Bob, some accolades that he had. He was inducted into the Arkansas Sports Writers and Sportscasters Hall of Fame in 2022. It was part of a class that day. We inducted him in the banquet hall over at Mermaids here in Fayetteville. Chris Mortensen, the late ESPN reporter, he was inducted as part of that class. You know, Mort obviously lived about the last 20 years of his life here in Northwest Arkansas. Lived in Taneytown at the time of his induction. Mike Nail, the former Razorback basketball play-by-play voice, former TV announcer or TV sportscaster here for the ABC affiliate. Mike Nail actually used to work in this building. A lot of people don't realize it, but he was a sports writer for the Northwest Arkansas Times early in his career before his broadcast career began to take off. And then Mike Irwin from KNWA now, formerly of KFSM for a long time. He was also part of that class. Those are four really well-known people in this state and in our field and really even beyond our state. As you see with the outpouring of love that there was for Bob, it reminds me a lot of when Chris Mortensen died earlier this year. Now, Mortensen was more well-known, but you're seeing this response to Bob well beyond the walls of Arkansas. People who we've seen Greg Sankey respond to this today. We've seen obviously a number of people throughout sports media who knew Bob or knew of him, but they knew him. If you ever met Bob one time, you knew Bob. And he won the State Sports Writer of the Year four times. He actually just recently got named a finalist for Sports Writer of the Year this year, and that award hasn't been announced yet. I'm hopeful that Bob will win that for a fifth time. But so many things we can say about Bob. He was on the executive board for the U.S. Basketball Writers Association. He was the local Heisman coordinator for the Heisman Trophy. He chose the voters in this region for the Heisman Trophy. He was the AP Basketball Top 25 voter. And again, the list goes on and on and on. Bob had his hand in so many different areas. And he was our premier basketball writer in Arkansas. He was our premier track and field writer in Arkansas. Back in the day, he would travel everywhere with the track team, with John McDonald's teams when they were winning Southwest Conference, SEC, and obviously lots and lots of national champions. He might be in Sacramento. He might be in Austin. He might be in Buffalo. He might be wherever an NCAA track meet was going on. It might be Terre Haute, Indiana, and Bob was out there freezing and covering an NCAA cross-country championship. But was a great track and field reporter, and we'll certainly attempt to continue his legacy of covering Arkansas track and field because it always mattered to him. When he was inducted to the Sports Writers Hall of Fame 2 years ago, Nolan Richardson presented him for induction, and I found the video this morning of what Nolan had to say about him. What we do whenever we have these inductions is that we have someone who knew them well just give us a quick little soundbite about that person. When Chris Mortensen was inducted, Peyton Manning was kind enough to send in a video. And for Bob, it was Nolan Richardson. And this is what Nolan had to say about Bob that day 2 years ago.
I want to say congratulations to Bob Hope. It's about time someone pay attention to you, Bob. You are deserving of being a Hall of Famer. You know, there's one thing I'd like to say to you is that I'd like to interview you after they've presented you with this award. And I'd like to ask the same questions you asked me, which was the same question about 15 times, and you wanted me to answer the way that you wanted to write it. Again, congratulations. You deserve it, and you're the best.
Bob earned Nolan Richardson's respect, and Nolan, I mean, he could become quite perturbed, as many coaches did, at Bob and his just never-ending line of questioning. But I will tell you this, what Nolan did was he respected Bob. He respected him a lot. And that was the thing that you could learn, or that you knew about Bob with all these coaches, that, yeah, you know, they might get frustrated. Like, Bob, how many times do I have to answer this? But whenever they would stand up, all was forgotten. You couldn't stay mad at Bob. He was such a likable person. And I'll tell you, Bob came up whenever, you know, the Arkansas Democrat and Nolan Richardson had a little bit of an adversarial relationship. And so it was tough for Bob, I think, to go and kind of, you know, wear that frustration from Nolan's end in some of those early days covering Nolan Richardson. But he did it. And, you know, that's one of the ways that you always earn respect whenever, you know, hey, you might write something and somebody's not going to agree with it, but you're going to be there again the next day sitting in the same spot, and you're going to be willing to take whatever heat and frustration comes back upon you. And I think Nolan really respected Bob Holt. I know he did.
Yeah, that's one thing about Bob. He had everybody respected him. Like, I don't know any coach that did not respect him end of the day. Like, because he always kept what his job was top of mind, and he was always just doing his job. I mean, I read the AL.com article where he mentioned, he's like, I don't work for the New York Times. I don't work for Washington Post. I work for Arkansas Democrat Gazette, so I'm going to cover the Razorbacks.
Yep.
And I'm going to talk about the Razorbacks. And it's just he always – it's very hard to find that balance of being excellent professionally and maintaining that professional integrity and just being a good, kind person like Bob was. And I think that every coach respected him immensely because they knew he was going to ask the questions that needed asked, but end of the day, it was never personal.
December 4th, 2024, I think for a lot of people, is going to feel a lot like July 31st, 2006. That was the day Paul Eales died in a car accident on his way back to Little Rock from a golf tournament here in Fayetteville, where he had just interviewed coaches just moments, you know, hours before he ultimately passed away in that car accident. Bob, obviously, he was there interviewing coaches and players right up until the time that he collapsed last Saturday night in Columbia. We want to, you know, kind of lighten this up a little bit. Bob, he earned a little bit of cult hero status from the SEC football media days. As the media days got bigger and bigger and they were televised and they became this event, the people who were constantly asking the questions, they had the cameras pointed on them, you could hear their voices, they kind of became celebrities too, at least to the people who paid attention. And this was from a couple of years ago. This was at one of the SEC football media days at the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta. This is a humorous
this
video.
Is just,
this is from who?
I forgot who posted it, but
it was John Talty.
Yeah,
is that right?
This is just Bob Holt as like this is
Bob being Bob.
This is just Bob being Bob. Yeah.
Bob, come step on the red carpet here. Make sure you get both feet on the red carpet. Yeah, there you go. Now, Bob, who are you wearing today?
I'm just wearing what was in my suitcase. This is just me.
Amazing.
Bob always wearing his Asics tennis shoes wherever he went. That was part of the style for Bob.
Yeah, and people just loved that very, you know, Bob was humorous, but answered everything so honestly. It was just, that was Bob's honest answer. It's just what I packed today. But talking about media day, I mean, that was my last extended trip I took with him, was to a basketball media day. It's just, he walks in the room and he's a legend in his own sort there, because everybody knows Bob's going to be the first one to ask a question. He's going to be asking them all week long.
This was from a few years ago, one of the SEC football media days. This was an exchange that he had with Nick Saban.
Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Doing
Bob,
great, thanks.
Bob Holt, Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I don't know if you noticed this. It stopped raining right before you came up, so I don't know if you had control over that or not.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So Bob was able to break Nick Saban.
Well, and I mean, it's a very small detail, but you realize, like, Bob states, it's almost like it was funny at a point that Bob keeps on stating his name and media affiliation, because, mm-hmm. you know, Nick immediately, hey, Bob, like, everybody knew him.
There was a time, I think Wally Hall told this story in the obit that ran today on our website. He said there was one year where Nick Saban gave his, gave his opening comments, and then Kevin Traynor, who is a longtime, sports SID here in Fayetteville. He's one of the senior ADs over at the university now. But he served as the moderator at SEC Football Media Days for a long time. And he's the one who will say, you know, okay, we'll go over here to the right, second row, Bob, or, you know, whoever. And in this particular year, Nick Saban, he gave his opening statement. He said, I guess we'll go to questions, and I guess we'll just go straight to Bob.
Yeah.
Cut out the middleman.
Yeah, I mean, and he's just – every coach knows Bob. I mean,
yes.
It's been in the SEC. They all know Bob, and that's the thing. They all respect him, too.
It was always and Bob, you know, I mentioned the basketball reporting that he did. The basketball coaches really knew Bob, and it was always – fascinating to me to see whether it be a Billy Donovan or a John Calipari. I'll never forget Rick Stansberry, the longtime Mississippi State coach. You know, he'd always come in and he'd do interviews, and his kids were like crawling all over him. He would always bring his kids with him. But anyway, all of them, hey, Bob, how you doing? Bob, good to see you, man. Hey, Bob. You know, and
I mean,
it was
just this year, Bill Self walked in. It was,
yep,
hey, Bob.
Yep.
I mean, it was before anything else started. It was just a really pleasant exchange between the two about – and these coaches were genuine with it, too. I mean, Joaquin, yeah, was like, it's really good to see you, Bob. I forget what else he said, but it just – it everybody knew him. He just had that – like you said, if you met him, you know him. You don't forget a Bob Holt.
Sydney Mulvannon is running the board for us this morning. She's going to pull up some tweets and some photos and some things as we go along here. And we'll read them as we can see them come up. Obviously, Bob just you can't run out of nice things to say about him, mm-hmm. And I think that's what we've seen through all these tributes that have been posted, this morning on social media, and even before this morning. I think the word kind of slowly got out early in the week about what was going on with Bob, and then there was a groundswell of public concern when John Calipari made his statements the other night after the basketball game at Miami. And so we've seen, you know, a lot of well wishes for Bob, but now that, you know, obviously reality has set in and he has passed away, we're seeing so many of these great tributes. And, Sydney, you can go ahead and pull those up whenever you're ready. And this first one is from Eric Musselman, the former Razorback basketball coach, obviously out at USC now. He wrote, the relationship between a coach and a sports writer can often be unique, but with Bob, there was nothing but friendship and trust. Bob's a great journalist for over 40 years and an even better human. He was one of the best in the business and a legend in the industry, he said, and he ended it with, rest in peace, Bob. Eric, he and Bob had a very close relationship.
And it's funny, the era of Eric Musselman coaching here coincided with, you know, of course, COVID happened, and it turned our job into a lot of video calls to where you're hopping, yeah, on a video call waiting, and it would always start with, hey, Eric, and then you go, hey, Bob, hey, Eric, how you doing? He always asks every coach at the beginning,
yeah,
of,
hey,
a
coach,
video,
how you doing?
How
hey,
you doing?
Bob.
And it was just always, hey, Eric. Yeah, I'll miss the hey, Erics.
Kyle Parkinson, who is he's the communications director for the U of A athletics. In the old days, you would call it a sports information director, an SID. He said, there's never been another one like Bob. Impossible to think about the Razorbacks without his coverage. He was the kindest man and most professional journalist anyone's ever met. He treated everyone with so much care, even when peppering him with questions. We'll miss him.
He's not wrong about it. It's impossible to think about the Razorbacks without his coverage. That's, yeah, been our life for a week now, ever since he lost consciousness on Saturday. It's been hard to even think about the Razorbacks.
I grew up in Waldron. My parents delivered the newspapers there. And it was interesting. My dad delivered the Times Record, which was the Fort Smith newspaper, and my mom delivered the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. And how lucky was I that I would wake up every morning and I would have these bundles of newspapers, because I helped out too. And what I would do the first thing every morning is I got to read Bob Holt before anybody else got to read him. I got to read Harry King before anybody else got to read him. I got to read Orville Henry before anybody else got to read him. And that was so cool. And then, you know, to be able to, I never was able to meet Orville, but obviously I worked with Clay for so long, who is just an extension of his father. But I did get to meet and work with Harry King for a long time and travel with him some. And what a treat that was. And then obviously to get to meet and know Bob, that was just so wonderful. Pat Forty, who's a national columnist, he said, terribly sad news to wake up to. Bob was a beat writer's beat writer, an SEC institution, a great Mizzou grad, and an incredibly nice man. Bob, bittersweet that he died in Columbia. He's from Missouri. He considers his hometown to be Cape Girardeau, Missouri. His dad was a dean at the Southeast Missouri State University. His parents were married for more than 70 years. His mother still is alive in Cape Girardeau. His father died about 4 years ago. That was home to Bob. He was born in Saginaw, Michigan. That's where the love of the Detroit Tigers comes from. They moved to La Crosse, Wisconsin. When he was in second grade, he and his friends used to play on frozen schoolyards in La Crosse, pretending they were players like Jim Taylor and Bart Starr and Ray Nitschke. And Bob loved the Packers, bought a share of Packers stock. And Ethan, he always liked to remind us that he was an NFL owner because he had that share of Green Bay Packers stock.
All the time. And, I mean, I only go back about 5 years with Bob whenever I began freelancing as a student. And, I mean, that's the thing. Bob got to know the student freelancer. But so the Falcons have only played the Packers a certain amount of times throughout that. But I knew any time that they did, I was going to get his Packers. Number one, he was going to tell me that he was partially an owner.
Yeah.
And then I was going to get his text throughout the game.
I'll never forget. This has probably been 12, 13 years ago. The SEC or the NFL officials went on strike. And so early in the season, they had replacement officials. They were actually college officials who were called up, and they would work the NFL games. And there was this famous game between the Packers and the Seahawks where I can't remember exactly how this went down, but somebody – there was a play in the back of the end zone right at the end of the game, and there was this great shot of one of the officials calling it a touchdown while the other one was calling it incomplete. And it was a total snapshot of just all the chaos that was going on at that time in the NFL, and it negatively affected the Packers. The Seahawks were able to win the game. I don't remember exactly how the play went down, but I know the Seahawks won the game. Bob gets on Twitter afterward, and he says, as an NFL owner, I demand that the officiating strike come to an end.
That's just Bob. I mean, yeah, he's just – it was constant wit, too. Like, just, like, the wittiness that he had spur of the moment, like, just unmatched. I think if there was an Olympic medal for having wit, he would have won gold a lot of times.
This is a tweet from the Southeastern Conference. It says the conference mourns the loss of longtime sports reporter Bob Holt. And it's got a statement in here from SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. He says, Bob Holt was a legend in the Southeastern Conference media corps and a friend to everyone. Played a starring role in our annual football media days, and I will miss hearing him challenge our coaches with both insightful questions and witty retorts. He'll be missed in press boxes and press rows across the SEC. We send our condolences to Bob's family, his colleagues, and his many friends. And boy, are there a lot of friends, and you're hearing from them today. You know, we've heard former athletes talk about him. Obviously former coaches. I think Brett Bielema put out a statement about him this morning.
Mm-hmm.
In the obit that was written by Bill Bowden. Nolan is quoted. Houston Nutt is quoted. Just the number of people who Bob had an impact on, it was just really great. Michael Casagrande, a columnist for AL.com, he wrote a nice tribute to Bob this morning. If you get a chance, you might go over and read that. He actually wrote a story about Bob 10 years ago from SEC Media Days, and it was really the first time that I had seen in media at all someone acknowledge just kind of how, and I think he was the one who coined the cult hero deal, but just how interested it seemed like people were in Bob at the media days.
Yeah, that's I have only gone to basketball media days with him, never football, but that's what was so funny to me, was going to basketball and how, you know, he's the guy in the room that has the most he's the most curious, he wants to know the most, and it kind of made everybody all of a sudden be the same way about him. Everybody in the room was then all of a sudden curious about Bob, like, who is this? Why is he asking all these questions? What's he getting at?
Yeah.
Asking Lamont Paris about Jonas Adu's play at Tennessee last year. It's because he was getting to his Arkansas angle. But yeah, he just, I don't know. I walked in to the Grand Bohemian Hotel with him for media days this year, and it was just like the whole room picked up. They were like, he's here. He's arrived. And yeah, it's just, Bob had a way of lightening the room. And I think that, I mean, the course of covering any team in any season, there's like kind of contentious moments and hard moments where it feels like everything's just getting so chaotic. And Bob had a way of just steadying it just by he was just constant, kind of joyful, and like things were never as bad as they seemed if Bob was around.
You know, one of the things that Tom Murphy mentioned in the last few days was, you know, the one of the last questions you hear Bob ask in the press conference after the game last Saturday night at Missouri was to Sam Pittman about the hip surgery that he went that he was scheduled to undergo 3 days later, and it was asked in such a way that it was genuine concern and for Pittman, and just, you know, kind of genuine happiness for him that he wasn't going to have to feel pain anymore in that hip that had obviously been bothering him so much this year. It was something that, you know, Pittman kind of privately shared with a lot of us, and just how, you know, uncomfortable that had been all season, and he'd even been public with it a little bit and in some of the comments that he had made in press conferences. But there was this genuine compassion and concern and from Bob, and I think that's, again, that's one of the many reasons that people gravitated toward him.
Absolutely. And I mean, he was the same way with it could be something like that, like hip surgery, or it could just be like a thing that was making your day a rougher. Like, Bob was just the type that, like,
That would make you happy. I'll share a story with you. My son goes to an elementary school here in Fayetteville, and last year they replaced their basketball court, and it was this big fundraising drive to replace their basketball court. And Bob gave $50 toward the basketball court.
Yeah.
That's just how he was.
It's just he did little things. I mean, I was showing you earlier. He's, like, texting me after a press conference. Hey, he was a Panera Sip Club member, and he loved
he
to
loved
tell you
Panera.
That because it was free drinks. And he just invited me. This was this past year and during fall camp of, like, hey, if you hang around, want to go to Panera, I can get you a free drink.
Yeah.
On my birthday 2 years ago, him and Tom took me to a barbecue restaurant in town. I wasn't telling people it was my birthday, but they found out, and they brought me there and bought me lunch afterward. Bob, before we went to Media Day this year, we stopped at Panera again. That's his place. And he bought me, he had a buy one, get one free sandwich. And I tried to insist, like, hey, you use this on yourself later, I'll be fine. And he just wouldn't let me. That's just how Bob was. He just loved the little things. I mean, you talk about he was, you know, your dad's age. He's, you know, he felt like to me like another grandpa almost in a sort, like, just the little things that he did to, like, let me know that Bob cared. And I mean, Bob sat at this same very desk with us before,
yep,
and been on
times.
Shows. It's just, we know him very, very well, and it's not gonna be the same. It's just he was loved, and he made sure that he knew that he loved us. He didn't have to come and be on these shows with us. A lot of times he just did it because we were in a bind and we needed somebody. But last basketball season, and he came on his own time. He was like, I'll come and I'll come talk basketball to help you out. So it wasn't an Ethan Westerman monologue.
It was a family reunion
for
him.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what he looked to do.
He made sure he wanted to genuinely be here with us, and you could ask him if he wanted to do anything, and he'd drop what he was doing and do it with you.
I got married 11 years ago, and Bob came to our wedding. And there was a basketball game that night, and it was a nasty day. I mean, like, snow, extremely cold. The roads were not real good. And we got married 20 miles from here. And he came to the game, and he got back for basketball, and he went to the basketball game still wearing a suit and tie. People were like, Bob, what do you cover? You dress like that to cover this game?
Yeah.
And ironically enough, the team they played that night was UTSA. It was going to be the first team they play on Saturday after Bob's passing. I'm quite certain that we will see one, but I'm hopeful that they'll have a moment of silence for him before that game when they play UTSA on Saturday. Bob, the number of stories that I have about Bob are great. You know, he brought food to the hospital when our middle child was born in the middle of the COVID outbreak. You know, we were able to have him to our home for Thanksgiving. We were able to take him out for his birthday 1 year, and it was such a special treat for him because it was kind of like, well, nobody's ever really thought to take me out on my birthday before.
Yeah.
And so Bob was a great friend to us, obviously was so great at what he did.
I mean, how many times has he just randomly come up on this show, like, over the past month? He'll always find his way.
He always will.
There's just so many stories that you're going to keep on hearing for years.
Yeah, he always will. I think anybody who was fortunate enough to know him, they're going to keep Bob's legacy alive through all the stories that they tell about him. Hopefully you've enjoyed ours. We'll talk sports. I think Bob would be kind of disappointed that we've spent so much time talking about him on this one. We'll talk Razorback football here in just a moment. But again, our friend Bob Holt, dead at 65, And I'll tell you, the world won't be the same without him.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers. At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. We want to tell you about our friends at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute. They are your source for holistic wellness and your healthy lifestyle changes. Located in Uptown Rogers, the staff at Enhanced Healthcare will target your specific health plan for wellness, from neuropathy treatment, primary care, weight loss, and so much more. You can count on the experts at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Rogers. Yesterday was a very busy day in Razorback athletics. Obviously, it was National Signing Day, and we'll talk about that a little bit here in just a minute. But there were some personnel decisions that were made yesterday, Ethan, that are quite noteworthy. Mm-hmm. The first one we'll talk about is that Landon Jackson's going to skip the bowl game. This comes as no surprise to anyone, especially after what happened, you know, up in Columbia last week with him, going to the hospital. He's going to be a high draft pick. I don't think he'll be a first rounder, but I think he'll probably be a day two guy somewhere in the second or the third round. And those types of players, they don't play in bowl games.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some projections that do sneak him into, like, the last pick of the first round. Like, that's his upside is first round, like, just depending on how the cards fall. But he's definitely, I mean, you don't, when you have that type of draft stock to where you creep on anybody's first round mocks, you don't play in a bowl game. But, yeah, he's been excellent for Arkansas the past couple of years. I think him and Andrew Armstrong both, who both aren't playing in the bowl game, they have the potential to like be players that you remember down the road. I mean, they didn't play on the best teams at Arkansas, but mm-hmm. they were really, really good. Like, they will be in a lot of talks for a while, I think.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see either of them have, you know, fairly lengthy NFL careers. And, you know, you say, well, what's fairly lengthy? I would say anything more than 3 or 4 years, because, you know, past that first contract. It wouldn't surprise me to maybe see both of them get a second contract. We'll see. You never know. I mentioned this yesterday. The NFL is so much about personal accountability and how you handle yourself as an individual. And, you know, so it's hard sometimes to figure out who's going to be the great players. Injuries are going to be something that obviously play a role in how long a player is going to be able to hang on in the NFL. But Landon Jackson, at least right now, the scouts like him. Mel Kiper of ESPN ranks him the fourth best defensive end in the NFL draft class. CBS Sports ranks him eighth in terms of edge rushers and 36th best prospect overall. Pro Football Focus ranks Jackson the 40th best prospect. They among his upsides, they say flexibility, his build, his strength, but they do note that injury history that includes a couple of ACL injuries. And then obviously there was the injury this year that he suffered in the Missouri game. You know, and that's no fault of his own. I think sometimes people hear, you know, well, you can't blame somebody for being injury prone. And they're right, you can't. But it is something that NFL teams evaluate. They evaluate everything. If they're evaluating your hand size, they're going to evaluate, you know, how much you've been hurt in your career.
Yeah, I think that's just the sad reality of it. I mean, it's something that you hate to see, that somebody's injury history could determine – you know, it's a lot sadder when it's somebody who, like, Landon Jackson's going to get picked in the NFL draft. He's going to be a high pick. He's going to have a chance to prove himself. It's always hard to see whenever there's an athlete who had a high upside and they had such injury history that it's like their career got thrown. Like, I mean, you think of a Jalen Catalon, the career path that he's taken now. I mean, he was in NFL draft talks whenever he was at Arkansas, and then just these injury prone players, it's just so much to have to overcome. It's always admirable, in my opinion, when I see somebody who battles through those and sees it out.
Other big news yesterday, Isaiah Satania is going to transfer from Arkansas. He's going to enter the transfer portal. with two seasons of eligibility remaining. Obviously, Isaiah is a player I've known for a long time, having covered him over at Fayetteville High School. But he's played here for 3 years, parts of 3 years. He was able to maintain a red shirt by only playing four games that first year in 2022. The speed, the explosiveness, it's all there, but it's never really manifested itself the way that I think a lot of people thought it would. This was the best year for him. He had 37 catches for 491 yards and caught that long touchdown pass down at Auburn. I'm interested to see, number one, where he goes, but I'm interested to see if he can ever improve upon those numbers.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's just kind of, you never know what all goes into a transfer decision, but he was kind of in line to, like, next year you aren't going to have Andrew Armstrong on the team. He was one of the starting receivers who was, you know, if they keep him, he's going to be back, and you just figure he's going to have a very prominent role and have a chance to build on that. Now he's going to have to build on that somewhere else, or at least try to, and that comes with, you know, you just got to, there's a lot that goes into entering a new program and having to prove yourself. I think he had done enough at Arkansas and proven enough that he would have been easily a contender to get a lot of targets next year. He's going to have to go somewhere and prove that now.
I really wonder, what is Arkansas's passing game going to look like through the bowl game? They're not going to have Andrew Armstrong. They're not going to have Isaiah Satania. And yeah, those have been, I mean, T-Slaw has or they call him T-Slaw, that's what Pittman calls him. But Isaac Teslaw, he's had a good year for them, especially here over the last, you know, month or so. But outside of him, I mean, the receiving production is just not there in terms of the players that they have available for the bowl.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to see some of those guys that got some grabs at Mississippi State, like you think of a Jordan Anthony. Tyrone Broden, I mean, if he wants to – he's just been kind of quiet all year. I figure he'll be available for bowl game. But, I mean, even some of the younger guys, like you think I would have named, like, maybe Davion Dozier get some time, but he's said he's going in the portal. So, yeah, it's going to be a real – that's a real question mark for this bowl game of who, if anybody, is going to be able to step up. I'm saying Tesla has got to be your guy.
One more personnel note. Fernando Carmona says he's coming back for Arkansas next year. He announced that on the Instagram page for a podcast that he hosts called Pen and Pull.
Hosts it with his brother. It's kind of cool.
Does he really?
Yeah,
okay.
It's fun to listen to if anybody – I ain't promoting it.
You know me. I'm kind of out of the loop. Yeah. But Carmona, he said, quote, "I'm excited to see what the future and growth of this team. The sky is the limit. We have a lot of great talent in this room. We played a lot of close games this year. And I think going into this offseason, if we keep the core of people together, it's going to be a different Razorback team you see in 2025. Carmona started all the games this year for Arkansas at left tackle. His grade of 67.5 by Pro Football Focus is third among Arkansas linemen. Josh Braun and Addison Nichols had higher grades, not by much. The line play all year was just, you know, very pedestrian. His grade ranks 13th among SEC tackles who played at least 50% of their snaps this year. I will say this about Carmona, though. It's different about, so like even Braun and Nichols, is the fact that Carmona came here from San Jose State. And so I think there was a little bit of a learning curve for him facing the defensive linemen that you see in the SEC because, yeah, I've always thought this, that the defensive line is really what sets the SEC apart. There are some absolute great players on that side of the ball, and he's seen a lot of those this year.
Yeah, and the thing about him, too, is he had some weeks where he was – I mean, he won, I think, Offensive Lineman of the Week in the SEC twice
two
this
times.
Year.
Yep.
He had two really good
– granted, that was the UAPB and Mississippi State defenses.
Yeah, well, that definitely has something to do with it. But if you're winning awards, I mean, they only hand that out to one person a week. And I think that shows that at his best, he can be a really elite player for them. I'm curious to see the line in general, how that if they can keep all the – there's a chance to keep all those guys, I think. Josh Braun's the one who it's like he could come back if he wants, but he walked on senior day. And then I would assume you probably keep – there's always a surprise or two, I feel like, in the portal, but I feel like all those linemen really like each other and like it here, so –
Sam Pittman said last week that he was going to talk to six juniors in his office the day before he had his hip surgery, so that would have been on Monday. It is not lost on me that three of what I think probably were among the six have said they're coming back. Xavien Sory, the linebacker, Arkansas's leading tackler this year, defensive tackle Cam Ball, who's been so instrumental you know, just if nothing else, in a leadership role for the Razorbacks. And now you've got Carmona saying he's coming back. We're still waiting word on what Talen Green is going to do. There's a couple of other notable ones, obviously, among those six. We don't know who the six are, but I would feel pretty confident that these three who have announced they're coming back are among those six.
And I think in the quote you gave from Carmona, he used the word core of team coming back. That's the same word that Pittman uses. He's like, he feels good about if they can keep this core back. So, you know, and that's –
And that's so hard in this day and age to keep a core of players together because of the amount of turnover. I mean, college football is as transient as we've ever seen it. Players moving, you know, from – I mean, there were players on this year's team who it was their third team in less than 12 months.
Yeah.
And so it's just it's hard to keep that core together. But cohesion is such a huge part of college football. And in my opinion, a lot of the teams that are winning the most right now are the teams that have been able to keep players together for more than a year or two.
Yeah, and I think that really they have a chance to have a solid foundation of players coming back next year. It's just, I mean, you're losing some really key guys too. But with the portal these days, I mean, they, in my opinion, they for the most part really hit in the portal last year. Of guys they targeted were very much role player, like not just role players, they were starters. I mean, Sori and Carmona both were portal guys. So it's like if they can just hit in the portal again, and they have a few, you know, it's always like risky to play a freshman, but they have some freshmen in this class, I think, that they signed yesterday that could maybe get some time. It's at this point, it's like if you can keep a core, you're just kind of plugging holes at that point. And that's what, I mean, seems like the receiving corps, they're going to not, it's not just going to be plugging holes. It's going to be revamping that completely. But for the most part of the rest of the team, I think it's going to be plugging holes.
So those are the big news items from yesterday. It was National Signing Day, too. We'll get to that in just a moment. You can get the latest breaking news on all Razorback sports at WholeHogSports.com. Most in-depth source for all Arkansas sports. Analysis, latest in recruiting, unique stories on all your favorite teams. Subscribe today at WholeHogSports.com. If you're watching our podcast, welcome. You can listen to an audio version on Apple or Spotify by searching Whole Hog Sports, one word, on those platforms. Or if you're listening to us, you can see a video version of our podcast on YouTube by searching for our Whole Hog Sports YouTube page. When we come back, we'll talk about this recruiting class, but first a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. We want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. They are committed, professional, versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. Yesterday was the first day of the early national signing period. The early period lasts 3 days, so it'll continue through Friday. There will also be the late signing period in February, the first Wednesday of February. Yeah, that was the traditional national signing day for many, many years. And now it's kind of been pushed to irrelevancy because all of the players are signing early. They're signing early. They're going to college early. Most of these players who signed yesterday or today, because I think there is at least one player today, maybe two, who signed with Arkansas. But anyway, anybody who signs in this early class, there's a very good chance that player is going to be on campus in January and going through spring football. So Ethan was really in tune with this yesterday. I'll be honest with you, I wasn't real in tune. I did obviously keep up with the headlines that were on our site. And I guess, Ethan, the big story of the day was that Madden Iamaliava, whose brother Nico is the quarterback at Tennessee, he's a four-star quarterback, a recruit from Long Beach, California, he signed with Arkansas. It was a signing day flip from UCLA to the Razorbacks. And this happened shortly after, I guess, UCLA parted ways with Eric Bieniemy, the former Chiefs offensive coordinator who'd been the OC at UCLA this year.
Yeah, and that was really the big surprise. It kind of, I mean, maybe some people know, but it came out of nowhere. It seemed like you just had been hearing some talk throughout the early afternoon that Arkansas was about to maybe get a
do something big.
Do something. And, I mean, it's just – it's one of those moments where you saw the last name and you instantly went, oh, this is the brother of Nico. I'm not – you got the – I still have not gotten my pronunciation right, but – and then you go and look at it.
I heard
stuff.
Somebody say that this morning, some like Imabalava or something.
But I was looking at, you know, yesterday ESPN had its class rankings up, and UCLA was way down there already. Like, they were number 45 in the class rankings, and those two guys that Arkansas flipped were, like, the ones that still made it in the, like, little blurb about them. Like, those were their two headliners. So that class for UCLA, I don't even know what that's ranked now. But yeah, those were the surprises. The other things I think people were waiting to see was the linebacker Tavion Wallace from Georgia. He's a four-star. He's – you know, you'd think ESPN rates him the number 45 player in the nation, number 3 outside linebacker, 4-star. And there was talks about him flipping to Florida State or Georgia. I think he went on a visit to Florida State this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always, you know, I think concerning for people when you always like to get the last moment in recruiting, I think, make the last impression. But Arkansas withstood that and kept him on board. And he's a guy that I was, you know, mentioned a little earlier how it's risky to play freshman, but there's some that could be instant impact freshmen, and I think he's one of them for sure. So he was a big one to get. The Markelin Batten, who they signed today, the athlete from Atlanta, Texas. It's one of those you got to check twice to make sure it's
Atlanta, it's down by Texarkana.
Yeah, exactly. So
home of, I believe, DeCorey Birmingham.
Oh, wow.
If he wasn't from Atlanta, he was from that area.
But Markelin, he's – a lot of people have him as a 4-star, too, and he was just waiting today. I don't think that there was ever any sort of, like, worry that he wasn't going to sign with Arkansas. It was just he just wanted to have a ceremony today. I mean, who knows what maybe prevented yesterday a normal one. But those are some of the headliners. They got two really good defensive tackles, too, from Mississippi, both of them, Reginald Vaughn and Kevin Otis. A lot of people have them as 4-stars as well. So all in all, I think it's a class that, you know, it still isn't. You look at the SEC rankings that a lot of these services have, and they're down there. But they did good on signing day. They only had, I think, one player flip on signing day. Kamari Williams flipped from Arkansas to Louisville, a 3-star receiver. And then there's still one more unsigned verbal commitment to Arkansas, Connor House, who's an offensive lineman that there's a very strong talk of him flipping to Ole Miss. So,
yeah, DeCorey Birmingham was from Atlanta, Texas.
Well, I love these random. I love whenever there's a city name in a different state to where I like, you know, I mean, I grew up, I played at Nashville, Arkansas.
Well, you know, one of the things I remember about Birmingham was that he was from Atlanta, and his catch against LSU, the Miracle on Markham, sent the Razorbacks to Atlanta. And he's still, you know, he's still down there, I think, in that area. This is probably 8-10 years old. He saved someone from a burning car. He's a state trooper. He saved someone from a burning car, and there was one year where he received the Texas Department of Public Safety's State Trooper of the Year award for that act of, you know, for that heroic act.
It's always cool to hear stories of these athletes that have, you know, they're long gone from playing football, yeah. And it's like they in their communities are doing things like that. It is, you know, you even think of what Peyton Hillis did rescuing his kids last year. I mean, there's a lot of these guys who grow up and do heroic things after they're long done playing football here.
In the ESPN Top 300, Arkansas's got 5 players. There's Tavion Wallace, who Ethan mentioned, Madden Iamaliava. Kevin Otis is a defensive tackle from Hattiesburg, who I think they had to hold off one of the Mississippi schools for him. Grayson Wilson, quarterback from Conway. using the ESPN Top 300, and Reginald Vaughn, a defensive tackle from Mississippi Madison Hartfield Academy, is where he plays. You know, we've heard about Deke Adams and the recruiting effort that he did down in Mississippi this last year, and you can really see it with Vaughn and Otis. And then to take two quarterbacks, two high-profile quarterbacks, I got to tell you, I'm going through my brain, and I'm having a hard time remembering the last time that Arkansas got two high-profile high school quarterbacks in the same signing class. This is really rare.
Yeah, and it's – I mean, it's a tough deal, especially for Grayson Wilson, just thinking about, you know, you go in and you're – You know immediately it looked like you were going to be the only quarterback. You now know I have competition. Both of them should know that. I mean, they're going to have competition with each other, and that's just how it is.
So we mentioned yesterday, at the time that we recorded our podcast, Arkansas, I think, was 32nd nationally, and they were 15th in the SEC in terms of their signing class. So they did move up a little bit yesterday. 24/7 Sports now has them at 29th nationally. Yeah, they moved up to 14th in the SEC. I think at one point they had moved up to 13th in the SEC, but then there was some sort of – I think it might have been this thing that happened with the – did you read about this? I sent it to you last night. The player who –
The Mississippi Ole Miss.
Yeah. So there was a – from what I can gather is there was a player who had been committed to Mississippi State for a few months. At his signing day ceremony, flipped to Ole Miss, and they announced that he was signing with them. But I guess what happened was he's not 18, and so on his letter of intent, his parents have to sign off on this, and they weren't happy with him going to Ole Miss. They signed up a letter of intent for him to go to Mississippi State. Oh. I mean, it's a crazy, crazy story.
Yeah.
And I mean, only on National Signing Day can you get these types of stories.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of – I love hearing each year the crazy stories of stuff that happens. I mean
– Arkansas has been in the middle of a couple of them.
You even think, like, you know, Alex Collins, whenever his mom did not want him to go to Arkansas. She ended up very glad
that
he
drove away with the paper, I think.
Yeah, but – you know, obviously the tragic thing that happened with him last year. Since then, his mom's come out and said how much she's glad that he went and did his thing at Arkansas.
She was there on the field this year when he was recognized as part of the Arkansas Sports Hall of Honor class. And she was wearing a shirt with his photo on it. And, yeah, I mean, to your point, you know, it was a great decision for him long term.
Yeah, and it's one of those deals where it's like, each year you get, I mean, signing day is such a big deal, I think, for a lot of these athletes, because they are realizing, like, that they're going to, you know, it's becoming real. They're going to get to go play college football. And there's always just, you know, the cool stories of, you know, like an Alex Collins who has that signing drama at 18 years old and then goes on to become an NFL player in his career. It's just, it's always cool to see these players turn from, you know, the young just high school signees and see which ones end up, you know, making it pretty big.
Arkansas got four players from the state of Arkansas. I mentioned Grayson Wilson. They also got a couple of players from Parkview. The running back Cameron Settles from Parkview signed with Arkansas. Quentin Murphy, who I think plays quarterback for Parkview, but they've recruited him as an athlete. He is going to be playing for the Razorbacks next year. He signed. Parkview had four players sign with FBS programs yesterday. Two of them with Arkansas, and then Antonio Jordan, a receiver from Warren, continuing that long pipeline of players coming up from Bo Hembree's program playing for Arkansas. But, Ethan, I will stay on this soapbox for as long as I have to. I still think they need to sign more players from the state of Arkansas. And sometimes it's not for a lack of trying. I mean, they had Carius Kern
that
from West Memphis,
one, yeah,
who went to LSU, the big offensive lineman. Mentioned the Parkview players. Help me here. I think one of them is going to Oklahoma. They had him,
Omarion Robinson. And then
they had him, I think, committed at one point.
Same with the Bauxite, Marcus Wimberly.
Wimberly, that's right. So, I mean, you know, some of this is just players making decisions to go out. But I still believe this, that there are more Division I players in Arkansas if they would just be given a chance. And some people will say, and we can have this debate all day long, they'll say, well, what have those players done when they go off to the other teams? That's fine. But what I believe, there's something special about the Razorbacks, that if you grew up here and you grew up rooting for the program and loving the program, that if you get into that program that you really care about, that you're there because you, like, it's the team you always wanted to play for, there's something different about the way you train and you prepare and the effort that you give than if you get into a situation somewhere else and you realize, hey, this isn't for me. Mm-hmm. This place isn't for me. This isn't where I should have gone. And so I really do believe that there are players, and I could list a number of them for you throughout the years, where they got an opportunity to go to Arkansas. They might have not been a very highly recruited player. You know, Burlsworth is the greatest instance of this, but there have been many, many others. You know, Mitch Petras is a great example from Carlisle. Dan Doty is a really good example of players who got the opportunity to go to Arkansas. They sat there, they waited their time, and then they got to play, and they were a hell of a player for the Razorbacks. And I feel like we're missing out on some of those players right now in our state who could come up here and play and contribute, maybe not next year, maybe not in 2 years, but somewhere down the line, because this is really where they want to be.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, there's always like the off things, like, you know, where you look at an Isaiah Satania, who he graduated from Fayetteville, and he was not originally from Arkansas. He moved there in high school, where there's like, there's some high school prospects you're going to miss that don't have that deep rooted, which, I mean, Satania even came to Arkansas, so that's a bad example. But there's always, you know, a few that maybe move to Arkansas down the road. They don't have that long standing, so it shouldn't be like as much of a like, how did you let them get away? But there are a lot of them that did grow up and they wanted to play at Arkansas, and they just didn't get looked at as much as they hoped.
I just know this: the success of Arkansas football has always risen and fallen with the success of the Arkansas players that they have on the team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at every great Arkansas team they've had. Let's just narrow it down to the SEC. 95, 02, 06, 10, 11, all of those teams had really strong Arkansas
Even Pittman's
influence.
Best year. I mean, you had Treylon Burks on the team. Yeah. You had the Henry linebacker, Grant Morgan mm-hmm. at linebacker. A lot of your best players were Arkansas kids.
You've got to supplement. I mean, you can't field an SEC roster full of players from a state that produces maybe, you know, on average 12 Division I players a year or FBS players a year. But I think that they're missing some players.
Find your Peyton Holtz for football.
Yes.
That's, I mean,
Peyton Holt was actually a pretty darn good football player too.
He was, and he, I mean, just
your
like
Drew Morgans. Yeah. Drew Morgan's a great example.
Go
I
to
think
Greenwood.
Arkansas, that's
just set up camp in Greenwood and Warren and call it good.
That's not the worst idea, by the way. Greenwood's a heck of a football town.
Yeah, but
there's
like
something in
that's
the water
what I'm saying.
There.
There's something to be said about these athletes, like a Peyton Holt who played baseball, that you could just tell it all meant a lot more to him,
and it
led to some just. I mean, people won't forget him on the team, and it's not like he was like a star his whole career at Arkansas. He wasn't even at Arkansas his whole career, but it's just like whenever he got his chance, he made the most of it. And I think that's something that you can pull out of a lot of athletes.
Yeah, I really do too. Some people may disagree, and that's fine, but that's how I feel, and I feel pretty strongly about that. We've got a lot of recruiting coverage at our website, wholehogsports.com. Hope you'll go there and read that today. We're going to have lots of tributes to Bob on our website. Just bear with us, guys. This is somebody who meant a lot to us, meant a lot to our media family, but certainly meant so much to our company. And so we'll have a lot about Bob that hopefully, if you've enjoyed what we've said today about him, you'll go to our site and you'll read it. We'll be back with another podcast tomorrow. It's conference championship weekend. We'll talk about all those games. And I'm sure there'll be some more Razorback football news that happens throughout today that we'll be able to react to. Again, we appreciate you being with us. We hope we'll see you at our website. And until then, we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.